take your Bible and turn there. If you're going to use a pew Bible, it's probably about page 270 somewhere. And take a Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. This is where the story of King Hezekiah that we have been looking at over these weeks, this is where it ends. We've covered Hezekiah's life from when he first became the king of Judah through several rather dramatic events in his life as he first of all sparked a spiritual revival in Judah, and then through his dealing with various kings from the nation of Assyria, which was the largest, most powerful nation in the world at that point in time. And we saw God's dramatic delivery of Jerusalem and of the kingdom of Judah. Now we're in chapter 20 at the end of his life, and it's a very interesting ending. Hezekiah, at the end of his life, and by the way, for those of you who are Bible scholars, everything that we have about Hezekiah is not necessarily in chronological order. It is in a theological order. Some of the things we'll read about today actually took place prior to things we've already looked at, but the writer put them here at the end of his story to teach us certain things about Hezekiah. And one of the things he wants us to understand is that Hezekiah displayed faith, but he also, in the end, displayed pride. That's the battle that most of us go through as Christians. We're at the same time people of faith, but we have, as the expression goes, feet of clay. We live for God, but we also struggle with temptation. We also struggle with sin. We also struggle with discouragement. We also struggle with just being human. Throughout most of his life, Hezekiah was primarily a man of faith. But as we'll see in our study today, his life did not end well. The end of Hezekiah's life can be called the power of prayer and the problem of pride. And that's the title that we'll use this morning. And the one big lesson that comes through in this part of the story of Hezekiah is prayer works, pride destroys. I want you to see several things as we look at the first part of chapter 20, and the first is the power of prayer. Follow with me in 2 Kings chapter 20 as we start at verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he, that is Hezekiah, turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened, before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day, you will go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" Then Isaiah said, "This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees on the sundial, or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. There's one thing for certain, Hezekiah lived an interesting life. These 11 verses revolve around three things. The first is Hezekiah's sickness. He's come down sick. Verse 7 tells us he has a boil. Now, we do not normally think of a boil as a life-threatening disease. But even today, and I did a little research on this, there can be complications to boils that can be life-threatening. I don't know if you're aware of this. Boils have been known to cause infections, especially triggering a blood clot behind the eye, which in extreme cases, without proper medical care, can kill a person. They can be fatal, even today. It's easy to see how Hezekiah's situation could be life-threatening in a time when medical care was not what it is today, in a time when knowledge of diseases was not what it is today. Now, we don't know exactly when this occurred. Verse 6 tells us the king of Assyria has not yet left Jerusalem. Last week, at the end of chapter 19, we saw him leave Jerusalem. So this is a little bit out of chronological order here. It is sometime before King Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, has left Jerusalem and returned to Nineveh. As I said, the writer is not trying to give us a chronological account of Hezekiah's life. He is trying to give us some insight into the king's life and his relationship with God. You can see something about that relationship as Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah is sick. The second thing that this section revolves around is Hezekiah's prayer. It says in verse 2, he turned his face toward the wall and he prayed, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. What impresses me about Hezekiah's prayer is how straightforward and honest it is. He didn't try to embellish anything. He didn't try to convince God to do something by making up something or making himself sound better than he was. If you notice, he didn't even ask God to heal him. He just reminded God of his faithfulness. "God, I lived by the truth. God, I was loyal to you. God, I did the right things." By the way, you don't say things like that to a God who is omniscient and knows everything unless it's true. I like what one commentator wrote about Hezekiah's prayer. I'm not sure if you can read that or if it's too small, but you can just listen. He said, "Hezekiah's prayer is instructive for us. He does not withdraw completely, for he does not withdraw from God. Neither does he rage against God. Nor does he demand that God heal him in payment for services rendered. Rather, he simply pours out the feelings of a wounded heart to a heavenly Father. No father's heart can be unaffected by such a cry, nor was God's." Some of you are struggling with that last statement. No father's heart can be unaffected by such a cry, nor was God's. Stay with me. We'll come back to that. In response to Hezekiah's very bold and honest and straightforward prayer, we have the third thing in this section, and that is God's answer. Three things about God's answer. God heard. Picture the scene. Isaiah the prophet, and prophets were not known as smooth dressers or smooth talkers. They were usually rough individuals. They were usually not well-dressed. And he walks into the palace, probably into the bedroom of the king, and he comes to Isaiah and he just delivers the news, "You're going to die." Didn't have a great bedside manner. From what we're told, he says, "Hezekiah, set your house in order." That means get your will updated. you haven't got long. In our English Bible, it was 16 words. In the Hebrew Bible, it's a little bit longer, but it's still only 20 words. I mean, if somebody is going to tell me that I'm going to die, I'd like them to use a little bit more than 20 words. You heard the joke about the wife who went on a trip and she gets a message from her husband and it says, your cat died. And she wrote back, she said, can't you just be a little more sentimental, a little more understanding? And he said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you should have sent me a text message saying, I can't find your cat. And then a couple days later, sent me another message and says, I found your cat. It's on the roof. And then a few days later, sent me a message that says, your cat fell off the roof. And then sent me a message that says, your cat died. Husband thought he got the idea. He said, your mother's on the roof. Listen, if you're going to tell me I'm going to die, please use more than 16 words. But apparently that's all that God gave him. And Isaiah, as a faithful prophet, simply said to King Hezekiah exactly what God said to him. He delivers the message and he leaves. And he's walking out and he doesn't even get outside of that section of the palace. And God stops him as Hezekiah has turned his face to the wall. He's reminded God what he has done and how he has lived his life. And he weeps with bitter tears as he pours out his heart to God. And God sends Isaiah back with another message. And the message was, I heard you're healed. That's the third section here, or second section, God healed. Now, the second message from Isaiah is a little bit longer. It's actually 81 words in the English Bible. God promises to heal Hezekiah and even to add 15 years to his life. Even though we don't have in the Bible a record of all of those 15 years, apparently that's what happened. And the third thing about God's answer is God acted. According to verse 6, I find this interesting. He acted for his own glory. I will defend this city at the end of verse 6 for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. That's the bottom line. This is where your question gets answered. I know some of you have prayed for a long time for God to answer your prayer, and you have the question this morning. The text says that God is like a father, and he will treat us like a father. Or not the text, but the quote that I gave you. And your question is something like this. God, Hezekiah prayed for 2 minutes, and you answered his prayer. And I've been praying for 2 months, or 2 years, or 10 years, and you haven't yet answered my prayer. Why? And the answer is here in verse 6. For my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. That phrase, for the sake of my servant David, does not primarily refer to King David. It refers to the Messiah. The one who, the Bible says, will be like David. The one who will be the second David to sit on the throne of Israel. When God acts, he always acts for his own glory and for the glory of Jesus. The writer went on to say, ultimately, it is only because of the divine David that God can change the word of condemnation into one of life. When you pray, God hears you, just like he heard Hezekiah. and his heart is moved by your prayer. Do you remember the quote? No father's heart can be unaffected by such a cry, nor was God's. God's heart is moved by your prayer. But we don't always see it because we're looking in the wrong direction. What we're looking for is an answer to the question, will this give me comfort? Will this give me peace? Will this give me joy? Will this give me happiness? Will this change my circumstances so that I'm not under so much stress? And what we need to be looking for is the answer to the question, how does this bring glory to God? Some of you are going through tough times, and you've been praying. You need to start asking the question about your situation, how does this bring glory to God? When God answers your prayers in a way that excites you and it gives you hope and it gives you joy, he does it for the glory of God. And when God answers your prayer in a way that seems to you like there is no answer to your prayer, he does it for the glory of Jesus. God did not answer Hezekiah's prayer because of Hezekiah. He answered it because of Jesus. And ultimately, that is why God will answer your prayer, one way or the other. Prayer is powerful. Not because you get the answer you like, but because it brings glory to Jesus. And as we pray, God works oftentimes in ways we don't understand, in ways we never see, in ways we will never see. And Jesus receives glory. And that's what life is all about, folks. Life is not about us. Life is not about getting our prayers answered in the way we like or the way we want. Life is not about getting our prayers answered so we don't have so much stress in our lives or so things go more smoothly in our lives. Life is about bringing glory to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, including praying, do all to the glory of God. J.B. Phillips translates it this way. Whatever you do, I think I have a misspelling up there. It should be whatever. Whatever you do, eating or drinking or anything else, everything should be done to bring glory to God. You see, life is about His glory, and that is the power that we have in prayer to bring glory to Jesus. And any answer that we get when we pray brings glory to Him in some way, whether or not it brings joy to us. When we pray, whatever answer we get brings glory to Jesus, whether or not it brings joy to us. Are you with me here? That's hard stuff. That's not what we like to hear. But that is prayer.